Amen. Presence of the Lord should be an enrichment in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. That gives you strength, gives you peace, gives you wisdom and direction. Hallelujah. That's a very present help in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to go to the scripture tonight. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 12. Ultimately, tonight, I think. And it goes along with what we were saying this morning and sharing this morning about the giftings in the body of Christ and the members of the body of Christ and us being all part of the body of Christ. Amen. And as I shared this morning, we all have giftings. We all have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and moves and dwells and resides in us. Amen. And so when we come into our assembly and we come into the house of the Lord and come into the place of fellowship, sometimes we make a conscious decision whether we release that Holy Ghost that's in us, whether we release those giftings, whether we share or impart those giftings that God has blessed us with, whether we impart them to others or whether we take them back home with us and keep them contained. Amen? And by that, I mean, you know, we shared and talked this morning about all the diversities of giftings and callings that are in the body of Christ. What are some of the giftings and callings in the body of Christ? Teachers? Ministry of helps? Prophets? Pastors? Evangelists? Apostles? The gifts, they said, we led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. In Ephesians, it talks about the gifts that he gave to the bodies of Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers. But as we go on to Corinthians and things like that, it expounds on them more than just those giftings, more than just those ministries that are set in the body of Christ. And there are ministries of helps and ministries of faith and diversities of healings and tongues and interpretations and prophecies and all the different ministries and giftings and callings that are in the body of Christ. Amen? And so, you know, faith is even one of those giftings or one of those that we have the gift of faith. And I believe he said it was given unto man the measure of faith. And I believe that everybody has the measure of faith. Amen? But I believe there's times in our lives that we choose whether to exercise that faith or whether we choose to enact that faith or depend on that faith. Amen? You know, there's sometimes in our life that things happen or situations arise and things like that, and we really don't activate the gift of the Holy Ghost or activate that faith in things. We start looking for means of taking care of that situation or settling that crisis, and sometimes we do it outside of the realm of even just releasing the Holy Ghost and the giftings of God that are in us. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that you know, sometimes I'll find myself and think, well, I guess I should pray first. You know, we say, you know, if all else fails, ask God. Well, now that's a sad situation to be in. If you've tried everything else and everything else fails, and then you ask God for his help or his strength or his guidance or his wisdom, let's just start out by asking him first. Amen. And go from there. Yes. Amen. And so there are different giftings and things in the body of Christ. And I believe, as I said this morning, when I gave the gifts, they didn't know what to do with them, so they were waiting on somebody else to wait for me to do this big demonstration on that gift, when really it was just a gift. All they had to do was open it, receive it, and it was theirs. Amen? But it was typical of most of us, I'll say most of us, sometimes we're waiting on somebody else to activate that gift or somebody else to say, maybe we'll wait on saying, you know, I feel the Spirit moving. I feel like God wants to heal somebody in here. So all of a sudden then sometimes we say, okay, well, let's activate that gift. And so what we're doing sometimes is waiting on somebody else to call that out of you or to call that forth or make that, you know, give you confirmation that maybe that's the way the Spirit is going or the, you know, the worship and things like that. And what we need to do is to be sensitive to the Spirit ourselves. And what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you in this assembly at that time? If God is dealing with you, if God's ministering to you, there's a good chance you're the one He wants to use to move in that area or move in that gifting. Hallelujah. And so we have freedom in this assembly and in this house to move in the gifts and to move as God sees fit to, you know, use us as vessels according to those giftings. And as I said before, you know, a great way to gauge yourself, you know, is this God? Is it not God? Number one, is it for the edifying of the body of Christ? He said He gave the gifts to the body of Christ, gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what God has placed in your spirit or on your heart, is it unto edification? Is it to the lifting up of somebody? Is it to the perfecting or the maturing of the saints? Or in the work of ministry, does it minister to them? Does it edify them? Does it lift them up? If that's the case, if that's true, then there's a good chance that it's motivated by the Spirit of God. How many believe you have to try the spirits and know that you need to just be a discerner? Well, I'll say it like this. You need to be a discerner of the spirits. Amen. You ever been somewhere and it just didn't feel right?
Amen.
Or the spirit just did not feel right? Or, you know, you just get that sense of there's just something not right about this?
Absolutely.
Sometimes you come in contact with people and you say there's just something there. Amen. It's just not right. It just does not set right with your spirit or does not ever go to pull into a gas station or a place or something like that, and it just doesn't feel right to you. There's been many times we went to pull in and said, nah, this just don't feel right. Let's just go on down the road. Maybe that's just, you know, out of self or whatever, but it doesn't hurt to just go on down the road.
Amen.
Amen. And there have been times, you know, when, as I shared with you, Morgan talked about the tire on her car. She was a little bit weary and worried about the tire on her car, and she said, you know, Mom, I felt like the Lord told me to pull over and check that tire. And she said, I didn't, and it wasn't but a few minutes that the front tire of her car blew out on the interstate. And she was able to handle the car, got it off the road and stuff like that, and she's like, I know, Mom, I should have listened when, you know. I said, well, Morgan, I don't know what to say to you more than that other than, you know what, always err on the side of caution, err on the side of, oh, well, maybe the Lord didn't speak to me, but at least I got out and checked the tire. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we analyze it so much and talk ourselves out of it until where if we would just heed that spirit, hear the voice, heed to it, respond to it, we could save ourselves some crisis sometimes, some, you know, problems and things like that. As it was, she ended up having a flat tire and, you know, had a cop pulled in right behind her, changed the tire for her. AAA pulled in right behind the cop, you know, and took her to the garage to get the tire fixed. And then somebody from the garage took her to work, so she didn't end up being, you know, I mean, God worked things out for her. But it could have saved all those other people a whole lot of hassle if she'd have just, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, God goes behind us sometimes and cleans up our messes and things like that where we don't respond. God is still faithful to us, but if we'll learn to heed His voice and learn to hear His voice, and as I said this morning, I think that's something we have to learn and we learn and we learn. And, you know, I say, Lord, make yourself real to me. Let me know in a surety what you're speaking. Give me confidence. Give me peace in what you're declaring. You know, hit me in the head with it if you have to, or, you know, yeah.
Recognize it as the voice of God. They he speaks to everyone. But people tell me all the time, well, God never spoke to me. Well, I never heard God speak to me. Yeah, you have. When he called you to repentance, you heard that call. When he saved you, you know, you heard that call. When he's given you peace many times when you thought there was no peace, you heard him. You felt him. You knew. And so it's we just don't always recognize it as the Spirit of God.
Amen. And so sometimes it's an urgency that you feel in your spirit. You know, you just feel like, you know, that God is talking to you, ministering to you, telling you, you know. And as I said, you know, if it's a passing thought and probably you think it and it goes on and you don't think anything more about it, good chance it was maybe just out of you or out of yourself. But if it lingers with you and it continues to be on your mind and continues to be on your heart, respond to it. And see what God will do when you respond to that voice or to that unction or to that, you know, that urgency or that, you know, calling you to do that thing. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as God just, you know, I've had situations in my life where God didn't necessarily speak to me and tell me what to do, but changed my plans inadvertently, you know, it just didn't work out what I had planned, changed my plans, only to find out that there was another situation, you know, and I shared with you before the neighbor that I ministered to back, it's been about a year ago, I guess, and my plans for the day were to go shopping. I had the day free for just me, and so I was just going to go shop for the day and de-stress a little, you know, and just enjoy the day. And I ended up going to the Christian bookstore, something got in conversation with her and got held up, and so my plans got delayed, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to go home, you know. It's later in the day than what I'd hoped to be, and was at my home within 10 minutes when the phone call came and said, you know, my son is dying, can you come? And I said, well, sure, you know, and I hopped in the car, run down the road, and within, you know, a very short matter of time, and I was able to pray with the young man and able to lead him to the Lord and to pray with them and to be with them and give them peace, you know, and those are the kind of things that sometimes that shake me, that say to me, Lord, help me to be sensitive to your voice and to your spirit and to the urgency of what you're speaking, that I don't miss those opportunities, you know, that he places before us. And so, in this particular situation, this man had, he had hepatitis, I believe is what, that, you know, he was dying from, and he had done a lot of things in his life that he felt guilty for, and had done a lot of things and to his family and just different situations, and he really felt like God was judging him for where he was in his life. I didn't know any of that. And when I got there, you know, I just prayed with him for peace, and I said, you know, the Lord will give you comfort and peace, and if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he forgives you of all your sins and all those kinds of things, and I shared with him. And, you know, saw the peace of God come over him because he was in quite a bit of pain and discomfort when I got there. And I saw the peace of God at work. I mean, I saw it come in. I saw it bring peace to him. I saw him calm down. I saw the presence of the Lord, you know, with him. And he really wasn't even able to respond to me. He could hear me, but he wasn't even physically talking and things like that. But I saw the peace of God. And I assured him that, you know, when we call upon him, that God hears us. You know, that you can be assured that the presence of God and that when you accept him and received him and all, and I saw the presence of God came in to that situation. But it was not till after the young man passed, in just a moments of time, that he passed, and that his sister came to me and said, what you said to him gave him peace because he really struggled with and was afraid he was going to go to hell because of all the things he had done in his life and was really tormented by his past and a lot of things he experienced. And she said, what you said to him, she said, I just saw it give him peace. And I think he finally realized he was okay. I didn't know any of that. You know, I just ministered what peace I would want if I was in that situation. You know, it's not time then to condemn or to bring up your past, but it's time to speak the peace of God and to, you know, to that situation and healing and things like that. And not that I did anything phenomenal, but it was just a real visitation of the Lord to me to is those times that teach you to be sensitive to the Spirit and be sensitive to the voice of God and things like that, that you don't miss opportunities like that. And maybe his family could have prayed with him, and maybe the same thing could have been accomplished. But God allowed that. That's the grace of God to me. That the Scripture says that if you call upon him, that he will answer. In the moments of his last moments of his life, that God was faithful to meet him there and to give him the peace of the assurance that he had been saved and that Christ accepted him and received him. That's the grace and mercy of God to me and in our lives. And so I think we're learning, you know, and I think it's important in the body and in the body of Christ to understand that we need to learn to be sensitive and hear his voice. And, you know, I was thinking even today, sometimes we have different views on church, and, you know, we come to church for me, what I can get, what, you know, I need. I've had a rough week, I've had a rough day, I've got lots of things on my mind, I've got crisis, I've got struggles in my life, and all those kind of things. And the house of the Lord is a great place to come to receive some refreshing, to receive peace, to be uplifted, to be encouraged in your heart. But, you know, really, that's not our focus in coming into the house of the Lord is, bless me, bless me, bless me. Our focus in coming into the house of the Lord should be to bless him, bless him, bless him. It's a time to come of worship and praise unto him for what he's already done in our lives and the things that he's already accomplished in our life. And sometimes I think if we take our focus off of me and what will I get out of the service and put our focus on him and what can I minister to him, as I said, we release the presence of God in our life to minister among us and to meet our needs. Amen? And so I think God is calling us, and even in this assembly and in this day, to just be sensitive to his voice, be sensitive to his Spirit, be sensitive to what God wants to do in our midst. You know, we can talk about religion and we can talk about other circles and all those kind of things, but if we become so pat and so ordered and so structured that we know everything is going to happen, everything, you know, we're still functioning out of that little box that we're in. You know, that this is how God's going to move this day in the service, and we already know that. And sometimes you've got to get out of that box. Amen? I get so tickled at the kids at camp. And especially the ones of ours that are so calm and backwards, because when the music starts, buddy, they are on their feet and to the front. You know, it's just like an automatic response because they came to have church. And it may not happen at camp in an orthodox way. You know, it may get a little bit outside of the box. A little different than what we're used to. But you know what? It may seem different to us at times, and it may seem a little bit crazy and all that kind of stuff. But as I stand and watch them, and I'm not a body surfer, so there's a good chance you're probably not ever going to see me do that, but never say never. Yeah, I've learned never. Never say never. But sometimes it does challenge us to get outside of our box. And as we watch them just having fun in church, just praising and worshiping, it always comes to me, I think, you know what? They could be out doing drugs. They could be out breaking into your house. They could be out in the back seat of a car. They could be out, you know, doing whatever somewhere else, but they're not. They're here. They're in the house of the Lord. They're safe. They're having fun. And they're doing what they're doing as unto the Lord. But sometimes we get our religious spirit on a little bit and think, I don't know about this. Not everything that happens has to be a super spiritual experience. Amen. Sometimes it's okay just to have fun. And I had to laugh because the one night that they did, you know, show us how you praise the Lord, one of the nights that they did it, they said it to Danny Ray. And Shannon was over here, and she said, oh, my goodness, he is going to die. He will never do that. And he did it. I said, Shannon, don't say that, because there. And he said to me later, he said, you know what, that was good for me, because it got me out of my box, out of my shell. It was something different to me. And so sometimes I think we need some challenges that just get us out of our box a little bit, that get us out of our shell, that get us out of our routines of things, you know, because we become so set and so routine, and we all know we sit in the same seats and we park in the same spots and we do, you know, we do all those kind, because we are such creatures of habit. We are so such creatures of habit that when we get out of our habits, we get distorted. We get, you know, it's like we're out of control or something like that, you know? And it's funny because it doesn't just happen here. It happens in assemblies everywhere. But I'll guarantee you that if you go to a conference somewhere else, and we go to conference, they'll come in and sit at the same seats in conference. Where you see them people sit the first night at a conference, they'll come back almost every night and sit in that because we've become such, and sometimes they'll do it year after year. And some come back and sit in those same spots. You know where to look for them, you know, that they're there. And so John and Gloria Curling right there, that's their spot, that's their seat, you know. And so we become creatures of habit. And sometimes it's just good to get challenged and get outside of your box, you know. As I said before, in the Old Testament, they carried Jesus, or, you know, God was, they carried him in a box.
Yeah.
And their God was in a box, and that's how they responded to him. But in the New Testament, he's out of the box.
Yeah.
He's not in a box anymore. Yeah. Amen? And so we don't carry him around on little poles called a mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant now. He's out of the box. And so sometimes we got to get out of our box. And so in our giftings and callings and things like that in the body of Christ, and even, you know, in this assembly and things like that, there are diversities of callings and things that happen outside of the house as well as inside of the house. Amen? And so that whereas there are some differences in that, and that I believe we have callings to the body of Christ, and that he puts us here as members in particular and places us, as the scripture told us today, it pleases him. He places us as it pleases him. There are diversities and callings and things outside, you know, that move and operate and are activated in the body of Christ. But I don't think we need to just say, well, this is my ministry and this is where I function, so I don't function in all that other stuff. Because I believe the giftings of God and the presence of the Spirit and his voice speaks to all of us, you know, and in the assembly. So, as I said before, don't stand back and wait on, you know, one certain person, like, you know, if God's going to move, he's going to move through them. That's not the way it's always going to happen. God can move through anyone who is obedient, a willing vessel. Amen? And so, you know, the different giftings and things, even in this body, the hospitality ministry that does things in the kitchens and the Wednesday night Bible studies and conferences and camps and women's meetings and things like that that minister. Those are giftings. Those are callings and giftings to the body. The men and women's ministries that happen here, the different activities and things that are, the men's and women's are together. The ministry of almsgiving, which is done at the storehouse and things like that down there. Everybody that's a part of that, that's a gifting, that's a calling to the body of Christ. Ministry of finance, and those who take care of the finances and are responsible and take care of those things. Everybody knows Monty's our minister of finance in this house and things like that. And our outreach or our mobile ministries, Lens ministry and things like that, that are outreaches that are part of this body, that function out of this body, that go out, and mobile ministries and things such as that. The apostolic ministries, and, you know, Pastor Jack and Shirley, still apostolic ministries over this house and a part of this assembly, but also Word of Deliverance is an apostolic ministry because we license and ordain ministry through this house. So we have people who are licensed and ordained under this title, under this ministry, which makes Word of Deliverance an apostolic ministry, because we're overseers to some other churches and other ministries and things such like that. Worship ministry and instruments, singing, praise and worship, all of those things are gifting and calling to the body of Christ. Children's ministries. Anybody involved and working actively and taking part in our children's ministries, Sunday schools, day camps, you know, any of those kind of activities, those are ministries to the body of Christ. Youth ministry, dance ministry, the youth camps, all those kind of things that take place, media ministry and tape and sound and all those kind of things are ministries, they're callings and giftings to the body of Christ. And I'm sure there's other ministries that I'm leaving out or that I'm forgetting, but all those things are giftings to the body of Christ. They're callings and actively operate in the body of Christ, but they are different from what I'm talking about in the sense that the gifts of God operate among us in our fellowship and in our worship. You understand what I'm saying? That there's times in our services where God wants to operate and move in the gift of knowledge, or the gift of wisdom, or the gift of prophecy, or the gift of tongues or interpretations, or gifts of healing and faith and all of those kind of things, that they are accessible to you and are part of the body and are calling, and that sometimes we need, well, all the time, we need to be sensitive to and activate those things and see what God wants to do among us, see where God wants to move among us, and give space and time for God to move. Sometimes when you don't know anything else to do in the service, just pause and wait until God speaks, or till God, you know, shares or says what he wants to do. One of the meetings we had earlier about camp, I said, you know what? We don't really have what we feel in our heart as our focus, so we're just not going to do anything till we feel like we know what where God is directing us or where God's leading us to. And so sometimes you just got to ponder and pause for a moment and wait to see what God is saying. And so in Romans chapter 12, we'll start at verse 3, if the girls want to bring that up. I'm going to go through verse 21, girls, so Romans 3 and 21, and then I want to read it a little bit out of the Message Bible, because I like how it says it here, but I don't need my glasses for that. They write in these Message Bibles with microscopes, I think, and whew. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man, what? The measure of faith. Is dealt to who?
Every man
has the measure of faith. And so you can't say, I don't have faith for that, or maybe they don't have faith. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. If every member had the same office, it would be a freak. Amen? You can't have everybody be in the same body part. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Missed that one. With brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. In the Message Bible, in chapter 12 of Romans 12, in verse 4, I want to read there for a little bit. It says, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and functioning as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scripture tells that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. And so it talks about being in the body of Christ. Just be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't envy somebody else's position or somebody else's place that you think looks more honorable. As we said this morning, what we think sometimes are honorable body parts are just looks. And the uncomely parts are the ones we can't do without, the ones that, you know, we don't see functioning. I don't see my liver functioning, I don't see my heart functioning, don't see my intestines and all those things functioning, but thank God that they are. Yes. Amen? Because the whole rest of me doesn't function if those inward parts are not functioning. So don't think because maybe it's not a visual ministry or open or visual thing that everybody's seen a big display about it, that it's not important. Because it's all part of a body, and when everything works, does its own part, you really don't see any one part. Amen? You're not sitting there thinking, my heart's beating, my heart's beating, my heart's beating, my heart's beating. It just does it. Amen? My stomach's growling. Those things just work. You only notice it a lot of times when it doesn't work or when it's not functioning the way it should be. And you think, oh, ow, that hurts. Wonder what that was. You know, it's when those things aren't functioning that it leaves the body impaired or hurting or not functioning to the fullness of its capacity. So what this scripture is doing is challenging you to just function where you are. Grow where you're planted. Be what God's called you to be, but function in that position. And never just think that you're just coming in to fill a spot or, you know, actively become involved in the service and become involved in the presence and the moving of God and say, you know what, Lord, what do you want to use me for today? In the house or outside of the house. I mean, the ministry doesn't just happen in this assembly or in this house. It happens every day in the people you come in contact with and people that you meet, you know, and things like that. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, you might say, well, I have a need or whatever. If you have a need and you need it ministered to and it's not being picked up on, you know, sometimes you need to make your need known. Say, I have a need. You know, you can sit back and say, well, nobody sees my need. Nobody's ministering to my need. If that's happening, make your need known. And say, you know what, I have a need. I have a concern. I have a problem. I need ministry or whatever. And God will be faithful to minister. You never know in whatever way. And, you know, another thing I think that is important in understanding the moving of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, and all those kind of things, the more that the Word is in you, the more that your focus, and I'm not preaching against music, I'm not preaching against your TV, I'm not preaching against whatever else you do, but I will tell you, the more input you put of Christ-like things in your life, the more you'll see it come out of you and work and be a part of your life. Because it's very hard sometimes, it's very hard anytime. If you get ready to get up and speak and you haven't read the Bible for a good while and the Word is not nigh you and in your mouth and in your spirit, it's really hard to bring it forth and to, in any capacity, whether it be prophecy or ministering or preaching or teaching or whatever it is, but if you, you know, whether it's tapes, whether it's a tape of the month, whether it's listening to somebody else's tape, whether it's worship, if you're a worship person or part of a worship team, listen to some worship through the week. Get yourself in a mind frame or in an attitude of worship before you get here. You know what I'm saying? If you're teaching, whether it's up here or down in Sunday school or whatever, have it in your spirit before you get there or wherever it is you're meeting, because it will flow much better if you have been inputting into you. It'll flow out of you. The psalmist said, I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. And it's the input of that into your heart and into your life that comes out in those times when you need it. And so sometimes the reason we are sluggish not so much in our services, but sometimes we feel sluggish about our relationship with the Lord is because sometimes we've not been in contact. Any relationship, if you don't stay in contact, is going to be distant, it's going to be dry, it's going to be disconnected. But the more you connect, the more you build relationship, the more you build conversation with that person, the more you interact with them, you know, and the more you know what they're going to say before they say it. And Dan was laughing at me this evening because I said something. He says, how do you do that? I was just thinking that. And you just say it out. It's spooky. He said, it's spooky how you do that. But you're in tune with them. You know where their brain's going. You know how they work. You know when you're in connection or communication with people. You know how they're going to respond in a situation when it happens, you know. And so you know where their brain is going. I like to let him think it's psychic Jesus powers, but we'll just, you know, really it's just I know how he thinks. But but that's what the kids call it at the house. They say, Dad, it's just Mom's psychic Jesus powers. But it's not really that. It's just you're in so communication with each other and connection that you know how they respond or you know what they're thinking and things like that. And so it's the same thing with the Lord and the Scriptures. If you're feeling sluggish in your relationship with the Lord, spend some time in the Word. Spend some time listening to some tapes or some worship or some, you know, a tape of the month from somebody or, you know, spend some time connection, reading the Word or doing whatever it is to lift your spirits. The Scripture says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes you got to speak to yourself in the Scriptures, in the Word, in worship, in prayer, in praise. Spend some time in prayer. If you don't do anything, but get down on your knees and say, all right, Lord, I'm here to talk and listen, and I'll just sit here till you talk. You know, sometimes we do so much talking, we don't give him time to talk back. Sometimes we just need to pause, be still. The Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes it's in our quiet time. That's why I told you this morning. I like to mow the grass, and so I get out on the lawnmower and I mow the grass, and I do a whole lot of talking to the Lord on the lawnmower because there's no other distractions in my life except the noise and the hum of that lawnmower. And so if I talk out loud to him, nobody even knows. People driving by on the thing, they say, she must be singing. No, she's just talking to herself. Just talking to the Lord or whatever it is. But sometimes we got to have some time to talk to him, but we got to give him time to talk back to us and to respond. And as I said before, he's always speaking. We're just not always listening or just not always hearing. So I encourage you to be an active, participating, responsive part of the body of Christ. And I challenge you to say, Lord, how would you like to use me today in this service or in this time or in this assembly? Is there something that you're speaking to me? Is there something that you're sharing with me or something that you want me to flow in? And sometimes one person can be the trigger to everybody else starting to move and respond and say, I was feeling that same thing. Or that's what I thought the Lord was speaking. Or that's, you know, you ever been in a service and the prophet goes over to somebody and you say, I knew they were going there. I knew that was because it bears witness with your spirit. You know, you just know sometimes the mind of the spirit. And not always. Sometimes I'm clueless when, you know, think, well, I didn't see that one coming, but that doesn't mean it wasn't God. Or, you know, it doesn't mean it, you know. But I believe he'll speak if we'll listen and if we'll make ourselves available to him to be used as a gift in the body of Christ. Amen?
You know, as I just said earlier, Lisa, it doesn't have to be in the church. Now, God can move through to any place. You know, I'm going to share this. My brother passed away. We were at the funeral. I sit down in the chair at one side of the room, and a few minutes later, I saw Robin's sister Jackie coming toward me. She came over and sat beside me, and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure, you can. She said, why am I not crying? She said, is my heart that hard? She said, have I hardened my heart? I said, well, the fact that you're asking me tells me you didn't harden your heart, or you wouldn't be caring. And I said, sometimes folks react different. I said, it may not get you to it's over with. Or I said, sometimes God just gives us peace. And she said, well, I do feel peace. I said, well, then receive that from the Lord. He's given you peace in this situation. And she thanked me several times. And I thought, just that little bit of word to her brought her comfort, because she was concerned that her heart was so hard she couldn't feel anything. But it wasn't that at all. She said, I do feel peace. I said, then that's it. But she was really concerned when she came to me, but kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so sometimes it's just the simplest word that somebody can just grab hold of, and that's it. That explains it. You know?
Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Anybody have a prayer request or anything tonight before we close?
They're testing on Layla for Lyme disease, so let's just keep her in prayer.
Okay. Layla, be Wilda's granddaughter.
Amy, too.
And Amy?
She has Lyme disease.
Remember her in prayer. Donna.
When I was at the VA the other day, there was a gentleman who came in, and they had him in a wheelchair, and he had Lyme's disease, and he was saying all the symptoms and all it had done to him. I don't know him, but God does, and I like God to just make himself real to him, like the healing spirit
flow. Amen. Continue to remember Joyce's sister. Lift her up. Donna. Leah's C-section is Tuesday, and they're going to deliver the conjoined twins, and they don't give them a very good prognosis. So just pray that God does the miraculous in that situation, in bringing peace and whatever. It's in his hands, so whatever. But God can do the miraculous. Even if it's not the turnout that they want, God can still do the miraculous by giving peace and direction and comfort and all those sort of things. So keep them in prayer. Anybody else?
Continue to pray with JR with his teeth. He's still out about a dentist. I found mine, and when I called him, he had that way last week. So we're still looking for a oral surgeon.
For JR and his teeth, looking for an oral surgeon. Pray that God moves there. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Unspoken requests for Carlin. Audrey. Okay. Amen. Pray for Duke and pray for Robin. Anybody else? Some of you guys go back there and lay hands on Duke tonight and pray with him. And some of the ladies there lay hands on Carlin and pray for her. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Lord, we just activate the gifts of this body, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just go ahead and minister to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak peace and comfort. Lord, we speak to the rest. God, that you give them rest in their spirit, in their mind, Lord, and in their body, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you for the miraculous tonight. Lord, we activate the gifts of faith and activate the gifts of healing in this body, in Jesus' name. We release the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Every member of the body, Lord, that is in agreement with him right now about it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, to touch and to lift up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We minister to Carlin, Lord, for the unspoken requests, Lord, and for the sleep and for the concerns in her body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We just pray, Lord, and activate the Spirit and the gifting of God. Hallelujah. For every request in this house, Lord, that's been mentioned and lifted up, Father, we just exalt your name above every sickness and every disease. Lord, every problem, every situation, every cancer, every bit of Lyme disease and everything that would try to come against the body and come against your people, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare healing, I declare deliverance and strength, Father, by your Spirit. And we give you praise and glory and honor in all things, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.